Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy family has been an important part of the Valley for decades. And you can count on them to take care of all of your insurance needs. And they'll do it with care. The Chateau is where I'm located, which is also known as the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15, in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr is on hand today.
Wonderful to be here.
Bringing the passion to the broadcast.
Oh, listen, nobody showed more. I mean, I can't even top the passion showed by Steve Colburn after the Belmont. I mean, that's passion right there.
He was honest. He's wrong, but he's honest.
Well, let me hear me out on this, because I know you're going to disagree with me. I'm not saying he's right by what he said, but there is a point to what he said. I mean, the Triple Crown is three races put together that wasn't made to be this. It wasn't like they created these three races to be the Triple Crown. That was kind of put together later. However, if you don't have the points to run the Kentucky Derby, should you be able to run the other two? Or should you be able to run just one of the other two?
Well, Tonalist had a lung infection. That's why it didn't run the Kentucky Derby.
Like I said, I understand where he's coming from, because I kind of, as I was watching it, had that same feeling he did for a little bit.
No, I didn't.
But it's always been this way.
I've had the same feeling about this, and I've talked about this all the years we've done the show. Every time we get to this, I consistently talk about that if I were to change it, I would change it where you run the first Saturday in May, the Kentucky Derby, the first Saturday in June, the Preakness, and then the 4th of July, you run the Belmont.
See, I think there needs to be a little bit of a break in between. I agree with you. But just in case you didn't hear it, here's a portion of the post-race interview with NBC Sports.
Well, I thought he was gaining ground, but he didn't have it in him, apparently. You know what? He's been in three. This is his third very big race. These other horses, they always set them out. They set them out and try to upset the apple cart. I'll never see. I'm 61 years old, and I'll never see in my lifetime, I'll never see another Triple Crown winner because of the way they do this. It's not fair to these horses that have been in the game since day one. I look at it this way. If you can't make enough points to get in the Kentucky Derby, you can't run in the other two races.
Like I said, I understand where he's coming from, but this wasn't the Triple Crown. These three races to make up the Triple Crown didn't happen at the same time. I think you could make that argument if these three races were created for the Triple Crown.
Look, let's start with this. Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss, who usually agree on virtually everything, did not agree on the ride of Victor Espinoza. I can tell you right now, I agree with Randy Moss completely, because I don't understand what Victor Espinoza did. He broke out of the gate. Yeah, he slid to the right. Yeah, he may have bumped a horse. Okay, you can't control that. That happens. But it's a mile and a half. So what? Okay, you move on. He then took that horse and he stuck him on the rail and he put him in traffic. Okay, this horse has already shown that running in traffic is not his long suit. He doesn't like to have dirt kicked in his face and so forth. I mean, he's, And I go back to what I said on Friday. I said on Friday, you take the horse, you move them to the front, and look, if they catch you, they catch you. Okay? The pace was slow. I mean, I'm talking painfully slow. And to me, you know, get them out front, let them run, and look, if they catch you, they catch you. And he did the opposite. He stuck him on the rail. He put him in traffic. He raced not to lose. Well, guess what? Every time you play not to lose or you race not to lose, you lose.
You lose. That's right.
So, and that to me, the biggest part was not the 3 and 5. I mean, it probably kept him from having the burst. Okay, that's probably what prevented the burst from him. Okay, I understand that. But at the same time, the ride was not a good ride. It just was not a good trip, and the jockey made it so it was not a good trip. He needed to get that horse in a mile and a half, get him right to the front, and just let him run. They run him down, they run him down. But, you don't just... I never once saw that horse run on the rail in 3 races until this one. Like, when they started out, I'm thinking, what are you doing? I mean, right away, I thought, what are you doing? Don't put him there. But he put him there. Ended up tied for 4th.
I have to think, as I was watching this, and by the way, I did not watch this live. I avoided the possibility of knowing what happened so I could watch it recorded, and I'm watching it off the DVR, and the first thing that I thought was exactly what you said. Why is he there? Why on the rail? Why not go and let the horse go and see what happens? Go for the win is what I was thinking. Exactly, go for the win. Don't go to be caught in a mess that could really really keep you from winning the Triple Crown.
Well, he did. He avoided winning the Triple Crown.
And then, and like I said, watching Steve Colburn's reaction afterwards, obviously very passionate about not winning the Triple Crown, said some things that he probably shouldn't have Sunday morning and has since come on national TV and apologized for those, and I give credit for that. I realized that it was probably bad, it was a bad thing to say on Sunday with comparing and... I think he compared it to someone in a wheelchair being handicapped against that, comparing that race that way. Probably not a good choice.
Probably not.
It's probably not the right choice there. But I give him credit for coming back and saying, listen, I realized that was, not the right thing to say. But I understand where he's coming from, because I honestly, as I was watching the end of that race, I felt the same thing. I was looking at the horses up front and thinking, geez, these are horses. How many of them, did any of them run all 3? No, none of them ran all 3.
2 did. General A. Rod and Ryland Curl. General A. Rod and Ryland
Curl. No.
Curl,
I mean
both ran all 3.
That finished win place show.
Oh.
I don't think any of them ran all 3. Maybe 2 at best.
No, yeah, you're right.
And I thought about
it. I mean, Tonalist, it was the only one it ran. Yep. I don't remember who 2nd and 3rd were. I don't.
You didn't bet on those, so it didn't matter. But I was watching it. I was watching it and looking at it from his point of view, and I understood where he was coming from. But again, like I said earlier,
look, you know what?
If this race was created by these three,
a firm Seattle Slew and Secretariat all right. faced.
This is not new.
Okay. All faith. And it's not new to any. I mean, look, you're allowed to enter the race.
Right.
Okay. You entered. Okay. I got it. I'm saying space it out, not because it gives you a better chance at a Triple Crown winner. I say space it out because it's good for the horse. If a horse wants to try and do this, and the normal recovery period after a race is 11 days. Well, okay, and then you come back and you win the Preakness, which is a little bit shorter. The tradition. The Preakness used to be run before the Kentucky Derby. Okay, tradition, really? Yeah, just because it's not the original, right? is just evolved into what we have now. You can change things up a bit, and I think it would be good for the game. Nice little 1 month buildup in between. I think it'd be nice. We'd be, you know, if that horse were to have won the Preakness over the weekend after a month off and the whole thing, and, you know, now the buildup to like a Triple Crown on the 4th of July, that'd be great.
Well, like I said, this is not new. This is the way the Triple Crown's been run, and these three races in the Triple Crown have been run since. You know, it's not like since 1978 they changed something, and that's why there hasn't been one.
But, right, they haven't. But at the same time, I also think it is good for the animal.
Yes,
to space it out more. Okay, and that's the part where it's not the Triple Crown part; it's the good for the animal part. By spacing it out a month, I think it's much better for the animal in terms of recovery and then the ability to go out and do, you know, and run again.
But are you sitting?
That's the part.
Are you sitting down for this next comment? Because I don't want you to fall over. Because this is going to shock you coming from me. This is supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to happen all the time. There's a reason it hasn't happened in so long. That's what makes it intriguing when you finally get a horse to that level that can win the Triple Crown. That's why people care about it come Belmont time when there's a horse that can win that has won the first two. That's like the Grand Slam in tennis. It's not supposed to be easy. I know you're shocked by that thought coming from me.
Intriguing thoughts. I don't know where you came up with such theories.
I guess you're starting to rub off on me now.
But it would still be hard because the mile and a half, nobody's ever run a mile and a half. It would still be hard to do. It's just the recovery for the horse attempting to do it would be more legitimate, a little bit more fair.
What's the average recovery time when these horses race something other than the Triple Crown?
11 days.
11 days and they're running in their next race?
No. I'm saying, but they'll tell you the horse is back to really takes 11 days. Oh, these horses don't run very often, Kevin. You're talking about in the thoroughbred
yes,
game?
Exactly.
I mean, the most important thing is to eventually, if they have success, retire them to stud.
Well, and I think that's why your idea of spacing it out a little more is not wrong. And it's not way out of the realm of being able to be done and a possibility. I think it's something that should be looked at.
You look at, if you were to do that, for example, you'd have the first Saturday in May, first Saturday in June, 4th of July. Then maybe you run the horse or other horses in the Travers up in Saratoga. Then you run them in the Breeders' Cup. Now you're talking about May, June, July, August, and then you get a Breeders' Cup in October. I mean, you know, where, you know, you've hit all the major spots during the course of the year. Maybe run in Santa Anita, something, you know.
Santa Anita, February, or is that March?
That's February.
Okay.
Yeah, late February.
Or the Wood, you know, that's an early one, too.
Sure, but I'm saying, but you spread it out through the year and get to the Breeders' Cup in October. Well, now you got a full schedule and...
But you know what nobody said? I appreciate the passion he had. I mean, maybe his comments you didn't agree with, but I appreciated the passion he had about it. He wanted it. I like that.
In a sports world that has become so incredibly politically correct and sterile, I found it to be hilarious.
It's true.
Well, this is different. This is great.
But he didn't call himself the man or anything. I appreciated that, too.
He was honest about it. That's how he honestly felt. We don't get a lot of honest answers on interviews anymore. Now, the one thing he did was, you know, he took away from the people who owned the horse that won. Which he then realized.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck. And maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
has always been one of the best months to buy a new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
Why?
Just listen. Sunbury Motors has 15 2014 Souls in stock starting under 15 grand. There's 26 2015 Kia Sorentos in stock, and we're already discounting them up to $4,000. 2015 Sorentos start at $22,913. You want real luxury? We got it with the 2014 International Car of the Year, the Kia Cadenza. Sunbury Motors Kia is discounting all Cadenzas $6,000. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia has 84 new Kias to choose from. Where else would you buy your next new vehicle than Sunbury Motors? On the Strip in Hummel's Wharf, satisfying more customers, selling more cars. A tradition of trust since 1915.
Tax extra, all applicable Kia customer rebates applied. KMF bonus cash financing to well-qualified customers.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You have no idea how refreshing it is for me to get back to the show sometimes.
I thought we were having a nice conversation.
You were talking about auto racing.
Well, it's a nice conversation for one of us anyway.
Like, I'm like, okay. I mean, there are moments where I feel like a hostage.
You are. But then again, you've ignored me in the past. I don't know why you don't try it when you now.
Huh?
See? It's exactly what I'm talking about.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Last night, the Heat beat the Spurs by two in San Antonio. Series tied at one, going back to Miami for tomorrow night's Game 3. LeBron James, who, of course, cramped up in Game 1 in the Heat, had only 1 point in the first quarter last night and then came back with 34 points after. I guess 2 points in the first quarter. 33 points after. They ended up with 35. He had a stretch where he carried them, where he hit one shot after another, played brilliantly last night, and the series is now tied at one. I was listening to somebody today go on and on about, you know, how it's much more difficult on LeBron in this era because of social media and Twitter and so forth. I'm sitting there, he says, you know, he's evaluated on a possession-by-possession basis. And I'm listening to this. I'm thinking to myself, what do you think? Was he grabbed the phone in timeouts? Or what are they saying about me on Twitter?
Or better yet, that's my given right as a sports fan to do.
Who cares? I mean, Bob Costas was great this morning. He was talking about Twitter, and he just has no use for it.
He does not tweet.
But, well, neither does Al Michaels.
That is correct.
Okay? You get to a certain point. I tell my class this all the time. All right. I would never in a million years walk into the Purdy agency and sit down with the Purdys and say, hey, you know what, guys? I have some suggestions on how you should sell insurance. I have no idea how to sell insurance. Okay? None. Zip. Zilch. Nada. So I wouldn't even think about it. Yet you have people all the time on Twitter that constantly are telling people who are really good at what they do how to do it. And what's really bad are the people that pay attention to it.
You believe what they just said? He passes the ball too much.
One of the things that makes individuals go from good to great in anything they do is instinct. Instinct is a really important thing. What your gut tells you, because you've got knowledge and know-how and so forth, but you have it. You just have a feeling about something. how to do it, how to go about it, what direction you should go in, and so forth. You can sit there and do all the marketing surveys that you want. You can sit there and get all the information you want. Well, people feel about that, blah, blah. Okay? But in the end, the really successful people are the ones that have the know-how, the understanding, they know their business, and they have instincts. And if you're constantly monitoring comments that people are making about your business or comments that people are making about your about you, then you start to sway as to what people say and think. Now, if you're doing something dramatically wrong, you should be listening to them. But if you're running it, your gut tells you you're going in the right direction and so forth, do you really need somebody else to tell you what you're doing since you know your business better than anybody else? So, like Bob Costas, Al Michaels, they don't need somebody on Twitter telling them, hey, you're not really good. Actually, as long as Dick Ebersol thinks you're good, you're fine. It doesn't matter what Mike in Lincoln, Nebraska thinks on Twitter. Dick Ebersol thinks you're good. You're in good shape. LeBron James doesn't need anybody to tell him to pass the ball more, shoot the ball more, be tougher, whatever. It's great people have opinions, but you don't have to listen to them.
See, I agree with you there. I mean, I don't have any problem with people making respectable, not derogatory comments or anything
like
that.
I don't care if they're respectable, praising, derogatory. You don't have to pay attention to
it. No. What I was going to say was I don't mind them making the comments, but if you don't have to pay attention to them if you don't want to. You know, if you feel the need to read those comments, then that's your choice, though. I mean, but it shouldn't bother you if it's negative, is what I mean.
Right, and there's some people that are like that, and I understand that. I'll give you an example. James Franklin wants to know everything that is said and written about his program. And he's been very open and upfront about that. I understand that, okay? I do, because he wants to know, you know, what's the perception, what are people thinking, and so forth. You know, he doesn't want something put out there that's derogatory that isn't true. How about that?
That's exactly right.
He always wants to keep track of what's going on. And I think, isn't there a service now, and I hear it advertised, where you should find out what people are saying about your business on Google or whatever?
Absolutely.
And it's a monitoring service.
Yep.
Where, you know, people said derogatory things about you or your business or whatever. And, you know. So from that standpoint, I do understand that standpoint, especially when it's personal. Right? And it's not true. But when it comes to your ability to do your job, hey, like I said, am I going to walk into the Purdy's and tell them how to sell insurance? Am I going to walk into Sunbury Motors and say, you know, I think you should sell cars this way? Guess what? That's their business. They're experts. Sunbury Motors, you know, they've been doing this for 99 years. Right? My job's to go in, buy, and see what happens. Okay? And have some trust in them. I go in to get insurance from the Purdy's, right? We think based on what you have, you know, you have to have trust. You can do this, 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 and this. And again, instinct. Once you take away someone's instinct, you take away their confidence. And that's a big part of this. Once you take away instinct, you take away confidence. Because instinct is confidence. And I think that, you know, that's why I pay attention to it. No. And there's nothing wrong with people having opinions and in their 140 characters want to tweet out what their opinion is about whatever. Fine, you want to get it off your chest, you're upset, you're happy, whatever, you had money on it, you didn't win, whatever. Fine. But the person it's directed at or to also needs to be smart enough to go, I could care less. I always tell you the story about Tommy Armour III, right? And I've told the story, probably 10, 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not high on the food chain in terms of the PGA Tour, but I think he won a couple times at some point. I'm at the Greater Hartford Open. Now, this isn't Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or, you know, Henrik Stenson or whatever. This is Tommy Armour III. And he hit a ball into the bush on the tenth hole at the GHO, right? But when I mean he hit it in the bush, it's not on the ground. It's actually physically lodged in the bush. He looks it over. He's right-handed, so he has a swing. And he examines as to what he wants to do. He talks to his caddy, takes a club, takes a swing, okay, slices it around a tree, comes up, hits in front of the green, rolls up to within 20 feet of the cup. Now, this is Tommy Armour III. All right? This isn't Louis Oosthuizen, right? It's not Phil Mickelson. It's not, you know. And it just makes the point that there are 7 billion people on the planet. 160 have the tour card. Okay? Looking at somebody, he stinks. No, he doesn't stink. He's just maybe not as good as Tiger Woods. That's why I always laugh when I hear stories. Oh, it's really blowing up and trending on Twitter. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. I don't care. It's blowing and trending up on Twitter. I'm like, really? Now, is Twitter useful for getting out information and so forth? Like, we use it to tell you what's going to be going on the show? Yeah. Right? Is it useful for people putting out opinions and so forth? But it doesn't mean the people it's directed at need to read it. You know, you got to be smart in terms of how you use it. You know, in terms of, you know, the person accepting it. You got to sit there and go, really? Do I care what the free world thinks about how I play the game of basketball? If you're LeBron James, because the free world does not care how I play basketball.
Yeah, well, the other thing he's got to look at, too, if the free world doesn't care, or if the free world has an opinion, he's the one that's also getting the really big checks.
Oh, no kidding.
So there must be something he knows about what he's doing.
Right. Now, I understand in terms of popularity, doing other things. For example, I was in a McDonald's the other day, and there was a big cardboard cut out of him slam dunking it. With a slam dunk. And of course, he's the spokesperson. Okay. You know, so I mean, in terms of the business opportunities and so forth, you have to have some Q rating to so people walk in and add. Well, LeBron James has that. I mean, there's just certain people on the planet where you just say their name and you know, LeBron. Okay. Everybody knows it's LeBron James. Peyton Manning. It's like with Reggie Jackson. Reggie, one name, everybody knew. I mean, so he's got that. And he also has two championships, and he is the best player of his generation. You can argue who the best player of all time is and so forth, you know. I mean, that's always a far argument. But you know me, I like to group them. And as I've said, you know, best player of a generation. Jordan was the best player of his generation. You can debate between Magic and Bird who the best player of their generation is. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, best player of his generation. You can debate between Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain. Okay, best player of the generation. Hockey, Crosby, Lemieux, Gretzky, Orr. Who's the best player, you know, of the generation? NFL. You know, Jim Brown, Jerome Bettis. No, I'm sorry.
Had to go there, didn't you?
1.3 yards more.
All right, just move on.
That's a big number, man.
That's it. I'm going to start posting things on Twitter about you now.
Like you have, like you already have. All right.
Not that you've noticed.
I haven't, because you know me. I don't read them.
That's it. If you want to post anything, that's the place to do it.
Yeah, that's right. So. All right. 800-795-9565. You know, again, like, for example, we get people call the show, give us their opinion. I love listening to the opinions. This is an opinion show. I love listening to the opinions. But when it's directed at you, I don't want to pay attention to it. Pro or con. You really, you know, it's like, hey. You're terrible. Now you start thinking, you got to be able to kind of do your thing the way you think you see fit. All those tweets I put out on Friday nights in the fall, you don't pay attention to them, do you?
I'm a little busy in the fall.
To read my tweets on a Friday night, you should
right.
do a game?
Yeah, I'm a little busy in the fall. I'm too busy tweeting out myself.
that's another part I don't get. I don't get that.
Here's why. All right. I can tell you this because I've had people come up to me and say, hey, thanks for tweeting out updates at the end of the quarter or the end of the half or whatever. And I said, well, I don't know if it's even worth it. Oh, no, I can't have a radio where I was, or I wasn't able to listen online on the app. So it was really nice to be able to look at my phone and get the update.
Okay. Okay.
By the way, some big changes coming in college football this year. Tostitos will not be playing, that you will not be playing for all the Tostitos in the Fiesta Bowl. And Discover is done with the Orange Bowl.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me that they're going to have the ball stitched and not.
Here's my favorite, though. Here's my favorite. You know how it's been the Rose Bowl? The Rose Bowl is the one that doesn't get a name in front of it.
Right. It's presented by.
Right. Well, for years it had been Vizio, and yeah. I think AT&T did it for a while, too. But reports are now that it will be the Rose Bowl presented by Northwestern Mutual.
That's fine.
No, but it just sounds strange because it's always been, you know, like one small, quick thing. Now we get a longer one.
Yeah, like it'll take up half the field.
Right.
All right.
Doesn't beat the Pollen Weed Eater Independence Bowl, though.
Something special about that
one. There is something always special about it.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Something special about that. Yeah. Went out and bought myself a weed whacker right after seeing that bowl game. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone.
It turns out that three schools have decided they're going to alter their jersey sales. And it's going to be Texas A&M, Arizona, and Northwestern. And they're just going to sell one number, and that's it. Northwestern is only going to sell number 51. That's it. Number 51, by the way, happens to be Pat Fitzgerald's number when he played there. Texas A&M is going to only sell number 12. That's for the 12th man. And let's see. I'm trying to think. What is Arizona doing?
I didn't hear what jersey number they were given. They were going to be selling.
Yeah, they're only going to sell one. And again, this goes back to the O'Bannon case, by the way, which is starting today. And O'Bannon is actually on the stand today. If you don't put a name on the back of the jersey. Right. I'll give you an example. Let's take 31. Maybe you bought a 31 when Paul Posluszny played at Penn State. Okay. But it's also 31 for Shane Conlon, who's going into the Hall of Fame this year. I'm not big on retiring numbers anyway. In fact, I've always been against retiring numbers. To me, you should have a team or a university Hall of Fame. Whatever. Penn State retired 22 for John Cappelletti. Well, that's nice. I mean, I get it. I wouldn't have done it. That's just me. I wouldn't have done it. But to me, you know, you should have a Hall of Fame, a Ring of Honor, something like that, where people who have had great accomplishments in your athletic programs should absolutely be honored. Retiring their number? Ah. You look at, for example, you're selling jerseys here. You probably would put 14 on sale here. But 14 is Todd Blackledge, John Schaefer, Chuck Fucina. I mean, two national championship quarterbacks and a Heisman runner-up.
For news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.